This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Jeff Van West for AvWeb, and I'm talking with Lionel Lavenue. He's a patent attorney and a partner at Finnegan, which is the largest patent law firm in the United States. And he's been helping us at AvWeb sort out the legal and technical side of Flight Prep's patent and its fallout for other flight planning providers. Just as a little bit of background for people, Flight Prep initiated a patent process in 2001 and was awarded a patent that they have now contacted a number of online flight planning outlets and have asked to initiate conversations about potential licensing and infringement and so forth. There has been huge public backlash against this and a lot of anger and people saying that this is a ridiculous patent. How can you patent online flight planning? Now, Lionel, we've talked before and you've told me after looking at this patent, there may be some real validity to this patent and it has a good chance of holding up. Why do you say that?
That's right, Jeff. This patent is a valid patent in that the patent office has granted this patent, and once the patent office grants the patent, it's presumed valid. Flight Prep has every right to go to potential infringers and to say, hey, we have a patent, and we believe that you use our patented technology, and we believe that you should pay us a fee because we have a patent on it. Patent is a right to exclude others from using your technology, and that's exactly what Flight Prep is doing here. I know that many have been outraged at the fact that Flight Prep has brought these complaint letters to various online flight planning companies, and I know that there are a lot of people who are angry about patents, but it is a patent that's been granted by the Patent Office, and therefore you and everyone else has to treat that patent as a valid patent because that's exactly how the courts will treat the patent. They will treat it as a valid patent until someone can prove otherwise.
Now, one of the things that comes up that people have been talking about with this patent is this concept of when it was originally dated. The final attempt made it through in 2005, but the patent is officially of 2001. Can you just explain how that can be true when it's been turned down? I think the actual number it was turned down 8 times is the number I've been seeing.
That's right. And there's really nothing wrong with the process that Flight Prep went through to get its patent. 9 to 10 years is long, but it's not improper, and there's nothing wrong with that system. In fact, when you file a patent application, the Patent Office always, 99% of the time, will reject your patent application the first 1 or 2 times, and you keep negotiating with the Patent Office in order to get your patent. The patent application was filed, as you said, in 2001, but there were additional patent applications that were filed later, and the one that we're looking at here is a patent application that was filed later, but you're entitled to the original filing date, so back to 2001. In fact, for those who are looking at the patent and determining whether or not the patent is infringed or not infringed or valid or not invalid, one thing that they should keep in mind is that Flight Prep has another patent application that is still pending before the Patent Office that may even have broader or better claims than the patent that's being studied now.
I want to look at those claims in detail, or at least the concept of claims in a moment, but I also want to look at the process by which Flight Prep has contacted these companies, because that seems to have brought up a lot of ire among people and a lot of confusion. They contacted these companies with a letter, a certified letter, asking for an NDA, but without any kind of mention of infringement. And these letters are sort of surprisingly civil. That seems odd from the outside, but talking with you earlier, you say that the civility is important and the concept of an NDA without talking about infringement is normal. Now, can you explain that for me?
That's right. What Flight Prep has been doing is what any reasonable company would do when contacting another company that they believe is infringing a patent. And that is, you notify your opponent that you would like to discuss with them the patent issues, but you don't directly come out and say, we believe that you're infringing. The reason you don't say that in the letter is if you're a patent holder and you send a letter to someone else and say you're infringing, That letter then gives the recipient of the letter the right to sue the patent holder. And the suit would be called a declaratory judgment action. And it's a lawsuit that an accused infringer brings against a patent holder for alleging patent infringement.
One of the other things that has excited a lot of public ire is this feeling that Flight Prep is going after the little guy. And in fact, on Flight Prep's blog, they recently had some clarification about the size of their own company, saying, hey, you know, hey, we're a little guy too. When we talked earlier, you said that the concept of going after kind of the smaller fish first, that's also normal. Can you explain that to me?
Well, whenever you have a patent and you have a lot of different potential infringers, you have to determine a strategy that makes sense in order to have the highest chance of success as a patent holder. One strategy that you may pursue, and it appears that Flight Prep may be pursuing this strategy, is to have a couple of initial test cases. And a test case is where you do go after, quote-unquote, the little guy, someone who may not have as much money as the large Jeppesen or other companies that may be offering similar technologies. Once you go after the little guy, that gives you the opportunity to see what arguments are brought against your patent by the little guy, to see what the process, how it unfolds, for example, to see what sort of media attention you're receiving. I think that Flight Prep is probably surprised at the amount of media attention that this has received.
Right.
And just to go through and test the whole process out before you initiate thermonuclear war against a Jeppesen or a large company.
Now, are they obliged to go after the big guys in the sense of, as the patent holder, do I have the right to only go after a couple people who are infringing, only the ones I think I could beat?
No, as a patent holder, you're right. You have the total option to determine who you wish to sue and who you wish to basically enforce your patent rights against. I suspect that if Flight Prep wants to enforce its patent, it's going to eventually go after the larger players, but maybe not until after it's had some time to go through the process with some smaller players first.
Now, of the smaller players, we know one website, SkyVector, has entered a licensing agreement with Flight Prep. We know another website chose not to discuss it through NDA and were later hit with a lawsuit, and that's Runway Finder. And initially, Runway Finder, they chose to shut down. Now it looks like they're going to fight the lawsuit. Have you gotten a chance to look at all at some of the claims of that lawsuit?
Yes. On the Runway Finder website, the owner has done a very nice job in his blog of outlining the case from his perspective and providing copies of the documents, including the complaint, the patent, and the file history. The file history is a copy of the back-and-forth correspondence between Flight Prep and the Patent Office as the negotiation took place over the patent. And it's very illuminating, at least from one party's perspective. As you know, there's also a podcast on AvWeb of the other side from Flight Prep's president. He gives his position. Flight Prep is definitely in the stronger position. Flight Prep is a company with the resources to be able to pursue the patent application, and I don't think that Runway Finder is going to have any success in opposing the patent, and there are a number of mistakes that are listed on the Runway Finder website about the way the patent law works, and I think that until Runway Finder obtains representation and actually creates a defense that is sustainable, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to prevail.
And actually, let's get into that a little bit more. And for those of you who are listening along and want to follow this out, Runway Finder's website is right now blog.runwayfinder, all one word, .com. You brought out for me three things, two which we said were absolutely wrong and one that was right. Let's start with the wrong ones. Runway Finder on the blog, they've put out that in order to be infringing on a patent, the person or entity must be infringing on every one of the claims that's linked together. And you and I have talked about with all the 23, I believe it is, claims on the patent, there are really three core claims, and every other claim kind of builds off of those. You're saying that that's wrong. And also, he's hoping to defend himself. He's thinking that the best way to get the patent invalidated is to go directly to the patent examiner. with items he didn't consider in the original review, like perhaps that flightplan.com's website was up earlier than even 2001 with what might be similar things. Why are those two things wrong?
Well, let's take the first issue first, and that is that you have to, or Runway Finder's assertion that you have to infringe all of the claims or there's no infringement. As you note, there are 23 claims. The patent claims define the legal restriction that you have as a patent holder, just like your property deed for your home sets out parameters on where your property lines are. A patent claim sets the parameters of where your rights are with respect to the technology that you've patented in the patent office. Well, in the flight prep patent, there are 23 claims. Each one of those 23 claims are actually considered 23 separate and distinct inventions. So, theoretically, Runway Finder could infringe 23 times, 23 of the claims in the patent. For Flight Prep to prevail against Runway Finder, Flight Prep only has to prove in court that one of the 23 claims is infringed. Now, I believe that Runway Finder's president is mixing up another patent law rule. This is why you have to have a patent lawyer to understand all of this, and that is, for there to be infringement, you have to infringe all of the elements of a single claim. So, for example, if you look at Claim 1, there are 5 distinct elements. And in order for Flight Prep to prevail on infringement of Claim 1, then Flight Prep would have to show that the 5 elements are satisfied by Runway Finder's technology.
Right, and you told me that proof here is very different than in a jury trial.
That's correct. The proof requirement for showing patent infringement is called the preponderance of the evidence standard, which just means that if you're a juror, you're 51% sure. You're just slightly more sure than you're not sure that there's infringement. However, to show that the patent is invalid, so if Runway Finder is going to contend that the Flight Prep patent is invalid, then Runway Finder would have to prove that invalidity in a court by a clear and convincing standard, which means basically that a juror would be 70 to 80% sure that the patent is invalid. Well, as you can see, the proof for infringement is only 51% out of 100, and the proof for invalidity is 70 to 80%, so there's a much higher standard in order to invalidate a patent than to show that the patent is infringed. The advantages are clearly with the patent holder, clearly with Flight Prep on this issue.
Fair enough. Now, if you were the attorney for Runway Finder, and I understand, let's put the disclaimer right here, you're not giving legal advice to anybody at all, but I am curious, what would your strategy be? Because the thing that you said was right about what he said is that there, you believe, a clear path towards fighting the lawsuit and potentially a way to invalidate the patent. So what's the strategy, just sort of generically?
Well, my opinion, just generally, is that Runway Finder will not be able to prevail just because they won't be able to defeat the arguments that a patent attorney who knows what he's doing in court is going to be able to put forward. But just giving some general hints to Runway Finder as to things that I see in the patent and that I see in the file history, there are arguments. The claims themselves use very unique words in defining what the technology is that Flight Prep has patented. And those very unique words are things that a defendant, such as Runway Finder, can use to prove that they do not infringe. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One of the words is the use of two-dimensional array map tiles. Basically, they're talking about charts, aviation charts.
Right.
But they use the words two-dimensional array map tiles. Those words have meaning. They have a legal meaning. And during the back-and-forth exchange with the Patent Office, when Flight Prep was negotiating over the patent application, these words were given a specific meaning between Flight Prep and the Patent Office. If you, as a defendant, can show that the meaning that we're given to those words is a meaning that is different from the way it's implemented in your technology, then that is a non-infringement position. And what Runway Finder would do, and I know that they are doing this already, is that they would go through the patent and find these unique words and then find how they've been used by Flight Prep with the Patent Office and show that they don't have a technology that satisfies those unique words. So that's the non-infringement side. In a patent case, you also have the invalidity side where you say, well, Your Honor and members of the jury, even if the patent is infringed, which of course you don't never concede, but even if it is infringed, it's also invalid, and it's invalid for the following reasons. And so what you would have to do next is go back and find where people had used online flight planning services before the filing of the patent application, which, as we know, goes back to July 31st, 2001. Interestingly, if you can find, it's called prior art, that type of information. If you can find prior art that goes back 1 year before that date, so that would be back to July 31st of 2000 or before, then that is extremely strong evidence that the patent is invalid.
Now, you've already said that in this particular case with Runway Finder, the advantage is definitely with Flight Prep. Changing sides here, you're now thinking from the Flight Prep side of things. If they were to go after larger entities and obviously larger potential royalty sources like AOPA Jeppesen, FlightAware, which has said that they don't feel they infringe and they've declined to talk to Flight Prep about it, and FlightPlan.com, who also say that they believe they don't infringe and have declined to talk about it, how would you go after a big fish like that?
Well, I think that the strategy they're using now of testing their patent by going after the little guys is a tried and true strategy. I don't think that there's really anything that is going to put them in a particularly vulnerable position, at least early, when you have companies that are not going to be able to hire the patent attorneys to defend the case. But eventually, there will be a big player that fights Flight Prep. And at that point, I think that's when we'll see how far this case will go. Because, as I noted, although I respect the fact that Flight Prep has gone to the trouble of spending 10 years to get a patent on online flight planning, on the other hand, there are some warts in the patent, and there are some arguments that can be made that the patent is either non-infringed or invalid. So there is a case. It's not like Flight Prep has a slam dunk. However, the biggest issue here is how much it costs to defend a patent infringement lawsuit, and frankly, from Flight Prep's position, how much it costs to bring a patent infringement lawsuit. It's more than $1 million. And if Flight Prep has the chutzpah and the bank account to go after a Jeppesen or to go after large companies that will spend the money to defend themselves, then really that's where we're going to see how far Flight Prep could take it. In most cases, however, I'll note, Jeff, that if you're a patent holder, you offer a license that is much less than the cost of litigation. So unless these companies like Jeppesen or Flight Plan or FlightAware just want to argue for the point of it and don't want to look at the bottom line, I suspect that in the end, most of these companies will pay a license to Flight Prep unless someone is successful in defeating the patent in the patent office, which we really haven't talked about yet.
What is this other option you're talking about at fighting at the patent office?
Once a patent is issued, you have a presumption of validity, and you really can't go back to the patent office and talk to the examiner that issued the patent and say, I disagree with you. That's really not available. But what is available is you can go back to the patent office and file what's called a reexamination request. It's a very formal document. It requires a lot of time to prepare. It almost certainly requires a patent attorney to prepare it. And if you are successful, you can ask the patent office to reconsider the validity of the patent. You're asking for a group of special examiners who just do patent reexaminations to look at the patent and determine whether or not it's valid. One thing that I expect to happen in this situation is for some company or some association, such as AOPA, to file a request for reexamination with the Patent Office, alleging that the patent is not valid because online-based flight planning was something that was done well before the filing date of the flight prep patent. If the patent survives an attack, however, the bad thing for potential defendants is the patent will be strengthened by the fact that a reexamination request has been requested and the patent survives. Regardless of whether or not the current patent survives, remember I noted before that Flight Prep has another continuation application in the Patent Office. So whether or not they went on this particular patent, Flight Prep has another patent application in the Patent Office on online flight planning, which they're still negotiating over. And they will be able to continue to get additional patent applications up until the termination of this line of patents, which could go on another 10 years.
So if somebody, just a concerned aviation enthusiast, wanted to help out Runway Finder or felt that this was an unjust fight that Flight Prep is waging here, it's not clear whether they should bombard AOPA with letters to say get a reevaluation or not. Which way do you go if you want to be supportive of this?
If you have the goal of defeating Flight Prep's attempt to shut down small companies, I think that reason is probably the answer here, and not so much trying to attack the patent, because I don't think that in the end, even if you attack this patent, that you'll be able to attack all the patents by Flight Prep. The reason I'm talking about here is for those who are contacted by Flight Prep to actually talk with Flight Prep and see if a accommodation, basically a settlement, a license, can be negotiated. I know from press reports that a lot of the companies who've been contacted by Flight Prep have refused to even talk to Flight Prep. And I know this sounds like that I'm advocating for Flight Prep, but I'm not. I'm just saying what's a reasonable thing to do. And what's reasonable here is if you're contacted by Flight Prep, to talk with them and see what they want. If they ask for something unreasonable, then maybe you can be outraged. But until you know what they want, it's hard to be outraged just at the fact that Flight Prep has a patent, because patents are guaranteed by the Constitution, and patents are things which have allowed the U.S. economy to prevail when many other economies have not been so successful. So patents are a good thing, perhaps in moderation, but nonetheless, they're a good thing.
Do we know what's in that other patent, the one that's being negotiated now?
I have not reviewed it. The patent application should be available on the Patent Office website. And so if you want me to look into that and get back with you, I can.
Well, I think we'll probably have an opportunity to talk again. This clearly isn't going to go away anytime soon, so we may be back to talk to you again. I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk today, Lionel. Really appreciate it. And so do, I think, a number of people who have been following the issue.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you.
I'm Jeff Van West for AvWeb, IFR Magazine, and Aviation Consumer. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.